everyone. Welcome to Every Great Adventure Begins as a Dream, a podcast where I inspire you to get out there and see the world. I'm Donna, a baby boomer and somewhere in the vicinity of being a senior citizen. Although I've traveled a lot, there's still a lot of world out there for me to see. Since I'm not getting any younger, I've got to keep going to see as much as I can before I can't. So let's dream together and plan our next great adventure. Today's adventure, 6 days of sightseeing in Paris. Can you see all the sights of Paris in 6 days? Maybe, if you can go 24/7. For most of us, that would probably be a no. And for those of us who are, let's say, a bit more mature, I would say that's a definite no. There are so many wonderful sights to see in Paris. Seeing everything would take quite some time. But with a little planning, you can pack in a lot of sightseeing into 6 short days. For those of you who speak French, I'll warn you right now, my French is not very good. So I'll most likely be mispronouncing many of the French words. Back in the 80s, Art and I went to Paris. We had reserved the entire last day of our trip to visit the Louvre. And sure enough, the museum workers were on strike, closing the Louvre. Talk about disappointment. But we were in Paris, so it wasn't hard to find something else to do. If you haven't traveled to France, be forewarned. Strikes are a way of life there. You can hear more about our first trip to Paris in my podcast, April in Paris May Not Be As You Expect. On this particular trip, visiting Paris was not the primary focus. We had rented a boat and were going to cruise the rivers of the Burgundy region for a week. Once again, traveling with the in-laws, 4 members of our group of 6 had not been to France before. We decided it would be a shame to be so close and not make the effort to see Paris while we were there. Since our flights were in and out of Paris, we sandwiched our boat trip with 3 nights in Paris at the beginning of our trip and 2 nights at the end. Things in Paris have changed a lot since Art and I were there in the 80s. It's a lot more crowded, but that seems to be the case just about anywhere we travel now. We noticed an extraordinary number of people from the Middle East, but then remembered about the immigration of refugees to Europe from the war zones. Perhaps the most surprising thing was the number of pizza shops, both in Paris and the small towns and villages we stopped in during our boat cruise. We didn't come up with a rational explanation for that. We joked that pizza has become the national food of France. A few months before our trip, our group arranged to get together so we could decide exactly what we wanted to see while we were in Paris. Our trip was planned so that we could stay in Paris 4 days prior to our boat rental and 2 days after. We decided that we wanted to go to the Normandy beaches to see the World War II D-Day landing sites and found a tour from Paris for that. The Louvre, Eiffel Tower, and Versailles were among the other places on our must-see list in Paris. Since everyone in our group is, or is nearly, a senior citizen, we try not to overplan our days. We knew that the Normandy trip would be a long day, so we prepared for it. That was the only really long day we had planned in our itinerary. Otherwise, we had only 1 major attraction planned for each day. Although we were traveling in September, which is not the peak season for tourism in France, we still anticipated crowds. Our strategy at the major attractions was to pre-purchase our tickets. In most cases, we still had to wait, but it did help to shorten the length of time we waited. Purchasing the head-of-the-line passes is definitely worth the extra money if you can afford it. We did not schedule anything for our last 2 days in Paris. We know that things can happen and even the best-laid plans can go awry, for instance, strikes. So we left those days as makeup days in case we were unable to do any of our planned sightseeing during our first stay. We knew we wanted to see the Basilica of the Sacré-Cœur, but it was the one thing we decided we could miss if things didn't work out. So we left that for our final 2 days. We only had 1 monkey wrench thrown into our plans, which we were able to work around. There was a, surprise, transportation strike on the day we were to go to Normandy. Fortunately, we had a great Airbnb host who forewarned us about the strike, so we were able to work around it. Here's a review of our sightseeing during our time in Paris. The Louvre. While preparing for our trip, I had read about the frustrations of people visiting the Louvre. The waits to enter and long lines inside, even with head-of-the-line tickets. So I did a little more research to determine the best times to visit. I found that visiting on one of the two evenings, Wednesday and Friday, that the Louvre is open is the best time to visit. Even seeing the Mona Lisa was reported to be crowd-free at those times. When we looked at our schedule, Wednesday was the only day we could visit in the evening. Unfortunately, that was also the day we arrived in Paris after our overnight flight. I contacted our Airbnb host to see if we could get into the house early, and Francis was gracious enough to accommodate us. That meant we could get into the house early, eat, get cleaned up, and head off to downtown Paris in time for a 6 p.m. entry into the Louvre. We had no trouble getting to the Louvre on time, and sure enough, there were no lines to get in. We actually entered a few minutes prior to our scheduled time. However, getting to see the Mona Lisa was another story. Unfortunately, the guide we picked up in the Louvre listed the location of the Mona Lisa incorrectly. Silly me, expecting the official guide to provide the correct information. There was some construction going on, and the painting was in a temporary exhibit. We eventually figured out where we needed to go and headed over and got in line. It wasn't evident when we first got in the line, but it was very, very long. It snaked up over three or four floors of the building and moved ever so slowly. After about a 45-minute wait, we finally got to it. The Mona Lisa. Although not the best of circumstances, we saw her and got the photo to prove it. As it turned out, it was the last day the Mona Lisa would be available for viewing, as she was to be moved into storage for a short time. We were told that's what was causing the long line. The rest of the museum wasn't crowded at all, and we were able to see everything we wanted before returning to our Airbnb. Versailles. This was one case where purchasing our tickets paid off. Again, I had looked up information to see when was the best time to visit this attraction, which was Thursday, and it worked with our schedule. The trip took about an hour from our Airbnb in the northern Paris suburb of Gennevilliers. It was not a complicated journey, just one change of trains, and we were there before we knew it. We went to the meeting spot for our tour, and after a short wait, walked over to the palace with our group. There were long lines at the standard entry point, but the tickets we had purchased went in through the group tour entrance, which had a much shorter line. There was still a short wait, but getting our audio tour devices and through security was quick and easy. Then we started off on our tour of the palace. Visiting the Palace of Versailles is so worth the time and effort. It is truly amazing. The Hall of Mirrors, the marble, the paintings, the history, the expansive gardens, worth every penny of the admission price. It's much larger than I imagined. It felt as though we walked forever. So do wear comfortable shoes on this tour. You can purchase a guided tour, but the audio tour was actually very good. The six of us ended up touring the palace at different speeds and consequently were separated. We kept in touch with one another via text. One couple decided they wanted to spend more time touring the gardens. The other two couples met up and headed back to Gennevilliers, and we all met up at the house later that evening. Normandy. This was our big tour during our stay in Paris. Due to the transportation strike, we had to take a taxi into Paris to reach the meeting place for our tour by 6:45 a.m. There is a cafe at the meeting point, which was fortunately open. We arrived early and had coffee, tea, and pastries before our tour vans arrived. We wanted a more intimate experience and the ability to see a bit more on the tour, so we chose a small group tour. This company's small group tour is for up to 8 people. As luck would have it, we were able to have a van to ourselves. Essentially, we had a private tour. I booked the tour through Viator, but the tour operator's name was Blue Fox Travel. They only provide English-speaking tours in Paris. Our guide, JB, was French, but married to an American, so he spoke English very well, including the American idioms. As we were on our way to Normandy, JB provided a great deal of history about the area. He also asked us questions to find out more about our interests and what we wanted to get from our tour. After talking with us for a while, he asked if we'd like to wait to see the Normandy American Cemetery until the end of the tour, so we could be there for taps. He said it would add about another 2 hours to the tour, but he would be happy to do so for us. We all agreed that that was what we wanted to do. JB did a great job of keeping us ahead of the crowds. On our 3-hour drive from Paris to Normandy, we arrived at the rest stop before the motor coaches arrived. The same with our arrival at Omaha Beach. We were the first group to the restaurant for lunch. The Overlord Museum was practically empty when we got there. We watched the motor coaches arrive as we were walking into the visitor center at Pont du Hoc. JB had our timing perfect all day long, yet we never felt rushed at any time. Being at the cemetery for taps was the perfect ending to our tour. We were so glad that JB offered us that option. The tour was more than we had hoped for, and we were very pleased. Yes, it was a very long day, but it was absolutely worth the money and the time. On the way back to Paris, JB had one more option for us. He could drop us off where our tour began, or he could drop us at Trocadéro Place, where we could see the Eiffel Tower as the lights came on just after sunset. As JB promised, seeing the Eiffel Tower with its sparkling lights was truly magical and the perfect ending to our day. The Eiffel Tower. We saved the Eiffel Tower for Saturday. Since Art and I had gone to the top of the tower on our previous trip, we decided not to go again. In our group, there were three that wanted to make the trip to the top. We once again made our way into central Paris. There was one small glitch in that the metro stop we wanted to get off was closed for repairs, so we got off at the next stop. Unfortunately, this caused the three that were taking the tour to arrive at the departure point a few minutes after their scheduled time, but the worker was kind to them and put them with the next available group. Those that took the tour reported that the guide was excellent and provided a good overview of the area and the history of the tower. Even though they had head-of-the-line passes and jumped the larger entry line, they still had a bit of a wait to get through the security checkpoint. After making their way up to the first viewing platform, their guide finished the tour portion and departed. When they were ready, they went up the rest of the way to the top viewing platform. They did have to wait in line for the elevator, both on the way up and back down. Their tour took about 3 hours altogether. They said it was excellent, worth the money and time. They also said it was worth the extra cost for the skip-the-line privileges, and from watching the entry lines, I would guess that getting up to the security point would add at least another hour to the total time needed. While waiting for those on the tour, the three of us who waited at the bottom of the tower found a bench and had a great time watching the goings-on. As it was Saturday and a beautiful fall day, the Parisians filled the park with blankets and picnic baskets. There were families and couples. It was obviously the place to be. Here, we observe the scam artists who make the Eiffel Tower their place of business. The girls who ask you to sign a petition and will then pick your pockets while you're distracted, and the shell game. We watched the shell game for quite a while. They would play for a while, then the operator would close up the game as an authority figure would approach. We identified the shill as she was at every game and was the only person who ever won. We observed her chatting on her phone as she took her lunch break, and then when the operator showed up, she reclaimed her place in the crowd. I was amazed at how many people would actually bet on the game, not realizing they were being taken. The Seine River hop-on, hop-off cruise. After reassembling at the bottom of the Eiffel Tower, we headed off for our Seine River hop-on, hop-off cruise. Although we had our pre-purchased vouchers, we had to turn them in for tickets, which was easy enough. Although the boat was full, there were enough seats for everyone. The six of us were just not able to sit together. We took the boat down to Notre Dame, where we got off and walked around the area. We were amazed at how much had already been done to restore the cathedral after the fire just 5 months earlier. I know everyone is anxious to see this historic landmark brought back to its former glory. This boat ride is a great way to get around Paris. There are numerous different providers of hop-on, hop-off Seine River cruises. The company we were with, Batobus, offers 1 and 2 day passes. The ride doesn't include any commentary. It's strictly transportation. The 1 day pass worked out perfectly for us. Make sure you read the complete description before you make your purchase to ensure you know what you're getting. Even though the weather was beautiful on the day we were there, the boats are covered so inclement weather won't ruin your cruise. Sacré-Cœur Basilica. This beautiful basilica, built in the late 1800s, is definitely worth a visit. You can walk, take a tram, bus, or the funicular up the hill to the basilica. We got off the subway and walked up the hill on the side streets and then up the steps to the basilica, completely forgetting about the funicular that was available. We had metro passes, and the funicular is included with the pass, so we could have taken it. But the walk was good, and we enjoyed it just the same. The Basilica is open from 6 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. every day, and there's no charge for admission. You do have to go through security screening before you can enter. There was a very short line to enter when we arrived around noon on a Monday. The Basilica is amazing. Unfortunately, photos are not allowed inside the Basilica, even though I noticed many visitors ignoring the rule. All in all, we had a successful time in Paris. Our efforts paid off, and we got to every attraction on our must-see list, just as we had them scheduled. The keys to success are: plan ahead, don't try to do too much in a day, and be flexible. By pre-planning, you can see everything you really want to see in 6 days of sightseeing in Paris. I hope you enjoyed our show today. If you did, be sure to share it with a friend. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss an episode. Visit my website, everygreatadventure.com, where you can read my blog and see my travel photos. You can follow me on Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram as Every Great Adventure. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is donna@everygreatadventure.com. Until next time, keep dreaming of your next great adventure.